Ready to start, but we will have a simple and a brief message this morning, and we'll do the best we can with the text, so I may be having to say slide, whatever as we go through, but since I can't see the slides, give me just a minute to, this is why I'm happy to be a dinosaur, so here we go. Okay, we will do what we can this morning. We're going to continue our Advent series. We began last week, and the series was A Star, A Song, A Savior. And last week, we began with the star, and we talked about see the star from the wise men as they looked and they followed the star. But the star that we see is Jesus, the morning star. One of his last testimonies about himself in the book of Revelation, chapter 22, is, Behold, I'm coming soon. I'm the bright and morning star. That's what Jesus says about himself. And so we considered that. We looked at that. And then next week, we'll look at the Savior. But this morning, we're looking at a song. And our message this morning, next slide, is Hear the Song. Okay? So you can imagine where we are going to be reading from. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Luke 2. But the scripture will be up here. And there we go. And then next slide, beginning in Luke chapter 2, verse 6. I'm giving you this as the beginning, but we're going to be looking at the shepherds and the angels this morning. So from Luke 2, 6 and 7, while they were there, Mary and Joseph, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And then we come into the verses, the 15 or so verses that are our theme this morning, our subject this morning. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, we know that's Bethlehem, right? Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be the sign to you. Take a look there. Some of you who have this memorized, usually we read or say, this will be a sign. But in fact, the exact translation is, this will be the sign. This will be the sign. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, or singing, because that's what they were doing, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests. Amen. Amen. So this morning, we want to focus on the shepherds, the angels, and the song, and I want us to talk about hearing the song. This part of the Christmas story is so familiar to us. I know that even without looking at this, some of you could memorize it as well. You have it memorized, you could quote it as well. And as we look at this, I want us to focus on a few things, and I want us first of all to look at the fields and the sheep. So let's go back to Luke 2, 8 and 9. So there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby. So when the word word field is used in the Bible, it's used in different ways. In this one, it is not the word that means pasture. Okay, sometimes the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. And pastures are a field, but that's not the word that's used here. The word used here is a very specific agricultural word, and it means like fields of grain, as there would be at that time. They would have planted wheat or barley. It would have been those two. We just got back from the Philippines, and all around us in the fields were fields of what? Rice, of course. And when we first went, we landed in Clark, and then we drove on up to Pangasinan, and the air was very, very clear, and you could look out in the fields. There was stubble in the fields, and they were finishing the harvest, and there was stubble. But even by the time we came back from Pangasinan back to Clark, back to Clark Airport, they were already burning the stubble, the stubble of the rice on the fields as it had dried. And then as they burned, then the ash, of course, would help to fertilize and enrich the soil that would then be sometime later planted again, with the flooded with water, and then planted again for the rice harvest, which actually has something to do with the Christmas story this morning. And so the word that's used here is they are out in agricultural fields. Do you know what that means? That means almost certainly that these fields had been planted with barley or with wheat. They had been harvested. Stubble was left. And in those days, they didn't burn the fields and the stubble. Do you know what they would do? They would then, after the harvest had come, they would, excuse me, they would allow the shepherds to come with their flocks of sheep, and they would bring them out into the agricultural fields with the stubble, and the sheep would eat the stubble and pick up pieces of grain. And then after a sheep eats, what does it do? It comes in one end. I heard some of you delicately and politely say the word. I won't say it here. It comes in one end, it goes out the other end, right? And when it goes out the other end, what does it do? It fertilizes the field, right? And so it was a win-win for the sheep and for the farmers as well. So when we read this, you can kind of think of it this way. It's probably not a beautiful green pasture that we sometimes see. It probably was a barley field at this time that had stubble, and the sheep were out there. And so they were living out in the fields. That's because there were animals, wild animals around. And so during this time, the shepherds would, excuse me, they would stay with the sheep, so they'd be living with them. So for me, although this isn't part of the direct story as we read it, but for me, when I start thinking about this, this is so rich with symbolism when I think about Jesus, our good shepherd, right? Why do the sheep need a shepherd? Because they frighten easily and they can't protect themselves. And they can't feed themselves either. Then we think about Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. He leads me here and he leads me there. And then we think about Jesus, who is the good shepherd and who is our Emmanuel and who lives with us and is with us always. And these shepherds were living out in the fields with the sheep, just as Jesus lives with us always. Why? Because we need a shepherd. Because we need a shepherd. And so I believe that's a part of the symbolism of the story. So so let's talk a little bit more about these fields. These fields would have looked very ordinary, but they would not have been ordinary fields. Do you know why? These were the fields of Bethlehem. So think with me, back in earlier times in Bethlehem, what would have made these fields historic? 1,100 years earlier, in these fields where the shepherds were this night with their flocks, there would have been a young widow woman who had followed her mother-in-law, Naomi, back to her hometown of Bethlehem, and she would have gone out into these fields to glean. She would have been very poor. They would have been brokenhearted. They would have had very little in the way of resources. And Ruth, the young widow, would have been gleaning in these fields from the harvest, getting enough for them to eat. And in these fields, rich older Boaz would have seen Naomi. And he would have redeemed her because he was the kinsman redeemer. So these fields are symbolic and rich with spiritual symbolism because our kinsman redeemer has also redeemed us. And so the shepherds were in these fields with the sheep. But there's another reason these fields were special and were historic. These are the fields where David, the city of David, right? There would have been a young David who was the great-grandson of Ruth, right? Ruth had married Boaz. They'd had a son named Obed, who'd had a son named Jesse, who'd had 8 sons, and the youngest one was named David. And young David would have been in these fields watching over the sheep, And he would have protected the sheep from lions and from bears, as he told King Saul, "With my bare hands, I protected the sheep." And again, we have this beautiful spiritual symbolism of our Lord and Savior, who with his own body has protected us from the attacks of the enemy. Praise the Lord. These were special fields. And you kind of think, oh, it's just fields, Pastor Jen. It's part of the story. It's part of the Christmas story of Jesus. But I think on this night, I doubt, give me some poetic license as I engage in spiritual speculation, but I think it's would have been pretty accurate. I doubt that in these fields, I'm just going to move this out of the way because Amy's keeping up with me. I doubt that on this night, these shepherds were thinking these thoughts. I doubt that this was in their minds. Oh, we're out here where Ruth was. And remember, David, the great king, these are the fields where he was. I think these shepherds were just out in the fields and they were trying to keep awake. Their custom was to take two-hour shifts in the U.S. I don't know what you call it in Hong Kong or in Philippines. We call the middle of the night the what? Graveyard shift. Is that what you call it? We call it the graveyard shift because nobody's awake and nobody wants to be awake except the person that has to be. And by this time, shepherds were not respected or honored. When David wrote, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." When David became a king, shepherds were seen in a certain light. But by this time, shepherds had fallen into disrespect. They were considered thieves as they took their sheep through the countryside. "What's thine is mine," is what was said in one of the things. Not only that, they were considered so unreliable that in the Jewish court, they were not allowed as witnesses. They couldn't even go, even if they saw something, they couldn't go into a court and give witness. And the people who were shepherds were the oldest who couldn't do something else or the youngest who had not yet been trained for something else. And by this time, shepherds were the lowest part of society. Maybe foreigners and Gentiles were considered below that. But in Jewish society, by this time, on this night, when an angel is about to appear and give the good news, when the sky is about to fill with a heavenly choir, angels are at the bottom. They're nobody special. They're nobody important. And they're out here in the fields. We don't know for sure, but this is what we think. But let me tell you what we do know. What we do know is that suddenly, Luke 2, 9 through 11, it's the later slide, 9 through 11. She'll find it. Luke 2, 9 through 11. What we do know is that suddenly, without warning, God's angel appeared to them in the dark night. What we do know is that God's glory lights up the darkness. What we do know is that his glory shines all around them. That's the word that's used when we see old paintings and it talks about a halo that shows around people. That's what this word means. It's used here in the Bible. So it was like a halo. The glory of the Lord shone around them. And what we do know is that they were terrified. What's the meaning in Greek? The meaning in Greek for this word, and they were terrified, the meaning of this word in Greek is very afraid. Of course, they were terrified. But if you look in the Greek, you know what else it means? It means mega afraid. We kind of use that mega for other things, right? So they were mega afraid. And the excuse me. But the angel says to them, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." By the way, this title, Christ the Lord, is found only here in the New Testament. It's understood in other places, but it's only found here in the whole New Testament. Now, I want us to think about the angels for just a little bit as they appear to the shepherds. All of us have seen paintings of angels, especially medieval or maybe Rembrandt did a painting or others or whatever. And the angels are very beautiful, aren't they? And they're kind of floating up in the sky, and they have white robes, and maybe they have wings. And a lot of times there are little angels floating along beside them, right? The little angels, maybe they're holding on to the hem or something like that. Do you know what I think? I think there's no way that that's what these angels looked like. Why? Because they were terrified. They were terrified at what they saw. And I want you to think about these angels for just a minute. How many angels? Okay, pop quiz. Ready? This is for the young people. I've got to make sure they're awake. Young people, how many angels are named in the Bible? Oh. Can you name an angel in the Bible? Cupid? No. Cupid is not in the Bible. It was somebody over here that said that. I don't know. I'm making that up. I don't think. Did somebody say Cupid? I just heard something. What are some names of angels in the Bible? Gabriel's one of them. Michael. There's one other one. Lucifer. Lucifer. You say, whoa. Yeah. Lucifer was one of the angels. So as far as we know by name, there are a host, a multitude of angels. The only three we know by name are Lucifer, Gabriel, and Michael. So I want you to think about it just a minute. I told you I was going to engage in a little bit of spiritual speculation. Think about the angels. We know that Lucifer fell from heaven. Lucifer was the angel, one of the highest created beings that led what in heaven? Led what? Worship. Brothers and sisters, I think that's one of the reasons worship is still so important for us as Christians. And I think it's one of the reasons that the enemy tries to fight us or distract us or look away or replace or substitute other things for worship. Lucifer led worship in heaven, and then he wanted it for himself. So Lucifer is one. And then there's Michael. You mentioned Michael. What was Michael known for? We find him first in Daniel, in the book of Daniel, right? And when we look at Michael, Michael's main role in the Bible, you say, are we talking about Christmas? We are. We're talking about Christmas in the song. But when we think about Michael, Michael's main role is a warrior. He's a warring angel. He's a mighty warrior that's fighting against the princes of Persia and the prince of Greece and all of that. Quite mysterious in the book of Daniel. So he's the warrior. And then we have Gabriel. And we read about Gabriel more than any other angel in the New Testament. Gabriel goes to Daniel and does what? Gives a message, although he's going to help Michael fight. And then we come to the Christmas story in the New Testament. Who appears to Zechariah and says, Zechariah, you're going to give birth to a son. They've been barren all their lives. You're going to give birth to a son, and he's going to prepare the way for the one who is to come. Which angel does that? Gabriel. And then in the sixth month, there's a young virgin in Nazareth, and an angel appears to her and says, Mary, greetings to you, you're highly favored. Which angel is that? Gabriel again. So look at this for just a minute. God gives us brains to use when we look at this, so let's use our brains. The messenger angel of God, Gabriel, speaks to Daniel hundreds of years earlier about the one who is to come. The messenger angel Gabriel, who says, I stand in the presence of God, says to Zechariah, you will have a son, and he will prepare the way for the ruler who is to come. And then the messenger angel Gabriel comes to Mary and says, you will give birth to a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin. Who is it that is sent by God when there is the message of the coming king? Who is it? Gabriel. Who do you think it might be on this night when he appears before the shepherds and he says, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He's Christ the Lord." Who do you think it might be? I'm pretty sure it's Gabriel. We'll find out in heaven. But I think it's almost certain that it's Gabriel. And you say, "Pastor Jen, why are you belaboring this point?" I'm belaboring this point because Gabriel is one of the great angels that stands in the presence of God. He is the one sent to Daniel, holy, faithful Daniel. He is the one sent to holy, faithful Zechariah the priest. He's the one sent to Mary, the one who's going to, in whose womb the Son of God will come, and the one who will be born. These are important people. These are meaningful messages. And I've just told you about the shepherds who are at the bottom rung of society. Why would it be that Gabriel, I think it's almost certain, why would such an angel be the one sent to lowly shepherds? Why? This is not an unimportant angel. This is not one of the, anybody can go with this message. An angel of the Lord, the angel who stands in the presence of God, is sent to people who are at the bottom level of society. And I think that's because the one who was to come, Jesus, was born in a dirty manger and came into a sinful, broken world, and has appeared and shined his glory upon broken, sinful, imperfect people like you and like me. God doesn't just send his message to important people. God doesn't just show his love to those who are extra holy and extra worthy. It is no surprise that God, I think, as I think about heaven, looked at Gabriel and said, "Go give the message to the shepherds. And by the way, take some backup with you." And the choirs of angels, actually the host of angels, do you know what that means there? The angels that appear with them? That actually means the armies of heaven. That's what the word means. The armies of heaven. I think that's kind of great. They can both do war and worship God too, and sing as well. But I think that's also not a surprise, is it? Because when we worship the Lord, there's warfare in the heavenlies. When God's praises fill our mouths in faith and in strength and in believing, the devil and his lies and unbelief are defeated in our lives. Amen. Amen. And the hosts of heaven fill the night sky. Let's go to that next verse. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts. I'm just wondering how many it was. It was a lot. They appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, here's the song, okay? I told you, hear the song. Let's hear the song. Saying, but it's singing, okay? Glory to God in the highest. Do any of you know a song that sounds like that? Gloria in Latin, in excelsis Deo, right? And it's glory to God in the highest. So look at the song that they sing, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. This is the best song we will ever hear. And as we look at this and as we come to a close, I want us to hear this song. Why would shepherds get this message and hear this song? Why? Because his favor rests on us. Glory to God. Not yet, please. Glory to God in the highest and on earth. Peace to men on whom his favor rests. And I want you to see that this morning. And I want you to receive it this morning in your heart and in your lives. Because you and I look at this and we think, his favor does not rest on me. I'm not old enough. I'm not as good as my mom and dad are. I don't think his favor rests on me because I blew it this week. And the sin that I told God I would never commit again, I committed this week. Or I've been trying to read my Bible, but I missed three times this week. His favor doesn't rest on me. He must be disappointed in me. He must be sad with me. He must be a little bit angry with me because I'm not a very good Christian. And I want you to hear the song this morning that the angels sang, because it is the song that the Father sings over us. And he says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men. Men, that means like mankind, not just male, female, okay? Men, women, boys, girls, young, old, everybody, okay? That's what this means. Peace to men on whom his favor rests. And I want you to hear the song this morning, brothers and sisters. His favor rests on you. If he would sing this song, if the choirs of angels would sing to the shepherds, the lowest rung of society, then he sings this song to you this morning. He sings this song to me this morning. Now, just in case you say, Pastor Jen, I think you might be kind of stretching it a bit or making it up, I've got some other verses for you. Stay in Luke, and let's look at Luke chapter 4. When Jesus came to the village of Nazareth, his boyhood home, he went as usual to the synagogue on the Sabbath, stood up to read the scriptures from Isaiah. It was handed to him, and he unrolled the scroll and found the place where this was written. In case you missed the song, okay, next verses. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim the captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time, shall we read it together? And that the time of the Lord's favor has come. Just in case you missed the song of the shepherd, the song sung to the shepherds that night, peace to those on whom his favor rests, just in case you think, yeah, but that doesn't mean me, I want you to see this morning that Jesus says to you, I'm here to say that this is fulfilled today. I'm here to say that I have come. His Spirit is upon me. I'm bringing good news to poor. He has sent me to proclaim captives will be released. Are some of you captive? Are some of you in bondage? Jesus comes and says, the year of the Lord's favor is here. And it wasn't just one year back then, brothers and sisters. This was the beginning of his ministry. He ministered for about 3.5 years. If that's what Jesus had meant, he would have said, this year, beginning now, and for 3.5 years, the Lord's favor is with you while I'm walking on the earth. No, what he meant was, from this point onward, I have come, I have reached maturity, I am prepared for the mission for which I came to the earth. This is why I came, this is why I was born as a baby, this is why I've grown up to this point. I have come to preach good news to the poor. If you're in bondage and if you're a captive, I have come to tell you, the Lord's favor is upon you and you can be free. If you are in sickness, spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally, in any way, I have come to heal the sick. The favor of the Lord is upon me, and the favor of the Lord is upon you. I have come to the blind will see. We live in a world that is so blind. People don't see truth in front of them. People believe lies, and that's a type of blindness too, isn't it? People believe things that are not true. People believe this person hates me. They've said this about me. We've all dealt with that. I'm dealing with that right now in my own experience. Not here in Hong Kong. But not here in Hong Kong. We all deal with things like this. Things are said about us. And all of this, so much blindness. And Jesus said, my favor is here. I have come to open eyes to see. Some of you have been praying for family members and loved ones for years. And they're just as blind. And you say, why can't they see God? Why can't they see what's truth? Why are they still believing a lie? And Jesus says, I have come. My favor is here, and my favor rests upon you, that the time of the Lord's favor has come. This is the song that the angels sing in the night sky to the shepherds. This is the song that Jesus sings over you this morning. Young people, let me make it literal for just a minute. You listen to all types of songs, and I'm not knocking that. as I have gotten older, I really appreciate peace and quiet. I don't listen to music as much as I used to. But years ago, I had just started teaching university. I'm thinking about songs. And I heard this loud, loud noise outside on the street where I lived. And I'm so sorry, this is way before your time. Young people, if you're listening to music today, how do you listen to it? Okay, headphones, earbuds, Dr. what's his name? Dr. Dre. You listen to music that way. In my day, when I was your age, there was none of that. None of that. And people would have what was it, Jason? There you go. It was a boombox. That's right. And a lot of time, anybody else are familiar with boomboxes? You're a dinosaur too. Y'all are saying, boombox, what's that? Hannah, that's okay. Go talk to your dad later. He will tell you what a boombox is because he's kind of a dinosaur too. But, the bigger the boombox, the better. These days, the smaller, the better, right? Tiny, tiny. In those days, the bigger the boombox, and if you were really super cool, you carried the boombox right here, right? Like this. It was like about this big, huge speakers, and you'd walk down the street, and you'd be jiving. You'd be bopping while you're walking down the street. So that's the funny part. Here's the not so funny part. So I looked out the window. What is that noise? And there was a teenager. I wasn't a whole lot older myself, but there was a young guy. I don't know how old he was, maybe 14, 15 or whatever. He had a boombox, and he was walking down the street, and it was just blaring. It was so loud. I've never looked up the song, so I don't even know the name of it. Please don't look it up now. But the chorus part, it was quite hard rock, and the chorus part was being sung over and over and over again, and it was very clear, so I knew exactly what was being sung. Do you know what the song was? I remember it to this day. This is almost 40 years later. And the song, the chorus of the song was, "Meet you in hell, my friend, meet you in hell, my friend." And that was the song that was being, and some of you are saying, what? But I think probably there are things just as bad, if not worse, these days in some things. I'm not knocking music. But what the point I want to make is, and he was just, he was loving it. And it was loud so everybody else could hear it. And I was thinking about that this morning as I was praying and I was driving in. The songs of the world, I'm not being judgmental, but I'm speaking from my heart. Let me put it this way. The things that we hear so often are so different and so opposed to the song that is sung over you by your loving Heavenly Father and that is announced to you through Jesus. Because I can tell you one thing for sure. Meet you in hell, my friend. There are no friends in hell. In hell, everybody's going to hate you, and you're going to hate everybody. There's no friendship. There's no friendship in hell. But the song of the Father and the song of Jesus is peace to you, and my favor, my goodwill rests upon you. So many people have such a strange idea about God, even Christians, right? We think God's mad at me. You know, you blow it. One Sunday, you get angry and you do something, and you think, well, God's mad at me, and then you don't even want to go talk to him or pray to him. And what God says is, my favor rests upon you. I'm here to have relationship with you. Hey, seriously, what point would there be for God to send a Savior who is judgmental, condemning, angry at you, looking for any wrong that you do, who's going to say, you did this or did that? What point would there be to send a Savior like that? The world already has a devil like that. That's what he's like. John 3:16, you know it, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. This is the song of the Father. This is the song that was sung to you. And if you know verse 17, I didn't put it here, but if you know verse 17, it says, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. That's the song that the Father sings over you. Let me close with Zephaniah 3:17, and then we're closed this morning. It's one of the very last scripture. This is an Old Testament scripture. Some of you have never read this before because you've never read Zephaniah. This is a beautiful Christmas message, I think. This is a beautiful Christmas song. And Zephaniah the prophet writes, I want you to see the song of the Father. The Lord your God is with you. He's mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will bring you quietness with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Do you see the song of the Father in this? The Lord your God is with you, Emmanuel. He is mighty to save. Unto you is born this day a Savior, who's Christ the Lord. He will take great delight in you. He will bring you quietness with his love, peace on earth. He will rejoice over you with singing, peace on earth to those on whom his favor rests. And his favor rests on you. His favor rests on you. I want you to hear the song this morning. Young people, I want you to hear the song. Old folks, I want you to hear the song. Everybody in between, I want you to hear the song. Oh, I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy. He's upset with me. No, he's not. No, he's not. He takes delight in you. He rejoices in you. He will deliver you. His favor is upon you. He will heal you. He will open your eyes. He will open the doors that have held you in bondage. His favor is upon you. This is the song that was sung. Hear the song. Let's close in prayer. Lord, we do hear the song this morning. We are so glad that you have sung this song over us. We are so glad that you sang it through the angels, through, we think, Gabriel, but through the heavenly hosts. You sang it to shepherds that probably felt so unworthy that they would be the ones to get this message, that they would be the ones to see the heavenly hosts and to hear the song of heaven, to hear the song of heaven. Lord, we feel the same way sometimes. We really do. But we thank you, we thank you, we thank you that you have sent Jesus to sing your song over us. And God, I pray that this morning and this afternoon and tonight and tomorrow and in the days ahead and in the year ahead and in the lifetime ahead, that all your people, every one of us, would hear your song sung over us. We would hear your song. Lord, I pray that those that need to hear parts of your song this morning for healing, for deliverance, for freedom, Lord, for opened eyes, for favor, Lord, for any of these areas, for your love, for your peace upon them, that they would hear this morning your song sung over them in love, in love. In Jesus' name we pray.